gun, I have a machine gun.
Ho, ho.
Season's greetings and welcome to this Christmas edition of Trimming the Musical Fat, the podcast where we trim albums that are too damn long. I'm Stephen Nicholson.
And I'm Paul Nicholson.
And together with input from friends of the podcast, we're going to take our invisible scissors to some Yuletide classics to create a top 10 best and worst Christmas song playlist. What songs are going to be kissed sweetly under the mistletoe? Which are going to be vomiting eggnog whilst listening to Justin Bieber's version of Silent Night? Keep listening to find out. We'll also share some festive funnies, get the opinions of some guests, and share some interesting Christmas music facts. So thanks to you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the show. Paul, why don't we step into Christmas by sharing with our listeners 10 interesting Christmas music facts?
So the Guinness Book of Records has named White Christmas as not only the best-selling Christmas song of all time, but also the best-selling single generally of all time, with an estimated 50 million copies sold. The Beatles hold the record for most Christmas number one singles, with four topping the charts in 1963, 64, 65, and 67. Fact number three, Jingle Bells was the first song played in space. According to Forbes, Paul McCartney receives $400,000 in royalties every year for his 1979 hit, Wonderful Christmas Time. Last Christmas by Wham is one of the most successful Christmas songs of all time, but the melody might not belong to the band at all. The songwriters of Barry Manilow's single Can't Smile Without You sued George Michael for plagiarism upon the single's release in 1984, claiming it includes their melody. Brenda Lee was only 13 when she recorded the classic Christmas hit Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. Since 1963, many artists have recorded White Christmas, but only one has charted with it. Michael Bolton.
Yay!
In April 1975, the American military played White Christmas over Armed Forces radio as a covert signal instructing soldiers in Vietnam to evacuate Saigon. In 1906, a violin solo of O Holy Night was the second piece of music to be broadcast ever on radio. And the final one is Let It Snow has made its way into the Christmas canon despite the fact that it never once mentions a holiday and was written by Jewish songwriters Joel Stein and Sammy Cahn.
Thanks for that, Paul. Let's now move on to some Christmas jokes. And we think you'll like these. So I'll maybe kick us off with one. So what do you call an elf that can sing and dance?
I don't know. What do you call an elf that can sing and dance?
It's Elvis. Uh-huh. You got one, Paul?
Who hid in the bakery at Christmas?
I do not know.
A mince pie.
I've got another. What did Santa say to the smoker?
I don't know. What did Santa say to the smoker?
Please don't smoke. It's bad for my elves.
They were dad jokes or uncle jokes, weren't they?
There were some some crackers in there, Paul.
Yeah, there was.
La, 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 la. What songs will get sleigh-belled as we trim the Christmas songs? We'll find out later. But let's start with the best Christmas songs as voted by the podcast panel. And first up, with two votes as their favourite. That was Davy Mellon and my wife Alison. They selected Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. So let's hear a little bit of it. You.
So, interesting fact about this song is that the song's co-writer, along with Mariah Carey, Walter Afanasieff, also wrote My Heart Will Go On for Celine Dion.
Didn't know that?
Neither did I, no, and obviously that was a massive hit.
Well, I'm sure, and I think, well, obviously My Heart Will Go On is on the Titanic soundtrack, which is actually one of the best-selling soundtracks of all time.
Yeah.
So, considering he's wrote even just those two songs, I'm sure he has a very healthy pension pot.
Yeah, he won't need to. Yeah, he can retire happily on those.
Certainly, his heart will go on. What do you think of Mariah's song?
Yeah, it's a really good song, actually. It's a good. It was kind of like the first sort of, I don't know, classic song of the 90s for Christmas songs, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Almost in the style of maybe a 60s song, like a girl group song.
Yeah.
So no, it was good song.
It's like a modern take on the kind of Phil Spector Christmas album sound,
yeah,
wasn't
possibly,
it?
Yeah.
I mean I bought the CD single when it came out in 94 or 5.
I think it was 94.
Yeah, right? And even then you knew it was an instant classic. And obviously still hugely, if anything, it's actually probably more popular now than when it first came out. It's brilliant song.
We'll be hearing it in the shops while people are doing their Christmas shopping. It'll be one of the songs that we'll hear the most probably.
Yeah, definitely. So glad to see that in there. I think it's a great song. So that's song number one. The second was selected by friend of the podcast, Mr. Ross Braidwood, and he went with the original Band-Aid version of Do They Know It's Christmas from 1984. So let's hear it.
$24 million for charity, and obviously there was four versions of the song. So the first one was 1984, the second one was 1989, the third version was 2004, and the last version was 2014. That's right, isn't it?
I think so.
It must be, because it would be like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's, yeah, I mean, I remember when the original came out, it was such a big event because you didn't really get anything like that, where you got all these big stars of the day together to record a new song, all done very last minute as well, really, between recording and releasing it. It had so much media attention. It was unbelievable. And obviously, I think the miraculous thing about it is the song actually turned out to be so good.
Yeah, it's a brilliant song. And I remember, I really liked the artwork as well, the sleet single. Mm. It was like a sort of old Christmas card picture, and it had like different, like a mantelpiece, and it had like a rocking horse as well, I think. And so yeah, it was quite an exciting time actually when that came out. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it was like, it sold like hotcakes.
It did. Everybody had it.
No, yeah, definitely. I always used to think, funnily enough, I used to think the keyboard bit in it sounded like Doctor Who. That was my first impression when I heard it. And I think what gets forgotten about the song sometimes, because people, obviously Bob Geldof was a massive part of it, but kind of what gets forgotten is Midge Duir, how he co-wrote the song. And
yeah, Midge Duir of Ultravox.
Yeah, yeah, he never really gets that recognition. And same for Live Aid as well, you know. He did a big part of that as well.
Yeah, I remember Dad buying the single when it came out as well. Yeah. And the funny thing is, Ross picked that, and his original choice for his worst Christmas song was the American version of Band Aid, which was We Are the World.
Oh, yeah.
And until I pointed out to Ross that I think that was released in March or April the following year.
Yeah, it was the following year. Yeah.
It was more a spring song than a Christmas song, so you had to make a different choice. But hey, we're sticking with Christmas songs, and our next selection was from Jamie Kerr, and it's by Run DMC, and it's Christmas in Hollis. Let's hear it.
So Run DMC recorded this for a very special Christmas compilation, which donated proceeds to the Special Olympics. And when I think about this song, probably the first time I heard it was in Die Hard, when, oh, what's his name, Argyle's driving the car. That's the first time I heard it. It works really well, actually, in the film.
It does.
What about you? What do you think?
My only exposure to it after all these years is still just hearing it in Die Hard.
Yeah.
And I usually watch Die Hard every Christmas, so I get to hear the song every Christmas. But yeah, no, it's cool. It's obviously a more modern spin on the Christmas song compared to most others. But yeah, it's cool. The next one. Funnily enough, you were talking about Argyle driving the hero of Die Hard, John McClane, to the Nakatomi Plaza. Mm-hmm. Our next song is a driving song, and it's Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea, and that was selected by Mr. Brian Borthwick. So let's give it a play.
I'm driving home for Christmas, yeah. Well, I'm moving down that line. Driving home for Christmas.
And it's funny to think, actually, this song, as well known as it is now, it only reached number 53 upon its release in 1988. But over time, it's became known as a Christmas favourite over the years. Yeah, what do you think about the song?
I actually really like it. And see, when I was younger, I probably didn't think much of it, but I think you find that with music and maybe movies and TV shows over time that your tastes do change, and mm-hmm. I think your experiences have an impact on your tastes as well. And obviously, Driving Home for Christmas is very much think from the point of view of a husband going back to, you know, on a business trip, traveling back home to get back in time for Christmas for his wife and his children. And of course, when you actually do have wife and children, you're back at home, you can just relate to it more. So I love it now. I think it's a great song. How about you?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I know it's much more popping out. I just think it's a bit bland, maybe a bit flat. Mm. But then maybe that reflects what the song's about. It's like, wants to get home, and if you look at it in that context, you maybe appreciate the song more. But I think it's okay. It's kind of grown in stature over the years and the consciousness of the public, I think. But
yeah,
it's not a great, not one of my favourites.
Well, decent. Brian's going to disagree with you, Paul.
I'm sure he will.
And yes, Brian's going to disagree with you, and he actually has quite a special reason for picking it. So let's hear from Brian right now.
Favourite Christmas song would be Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea. Closely it was followed by Shakin' Stevens' Merry Christmas Everyone, but Chris Rea just wins it. He was always one of my dad's favourites, so we listened to it a lot when we were younger. So whenever I hear that, Christmas starts for me.
So thanks for that, Brian. The next one up is from Mark Poole, and an unusual one. It is Sock It To Me Santa by Bob Seger. And here it is.
Cause Santa's got a brand new band. Santa, you know what I like. Sock it to me, Santa, just bring me a bag. Christmas just won't be a drag. Santa's got a brand new bag. Don't you dare let those chimneys bring you down. You got to spread those toys all over town. My stockings are hung so you can see. Don't hit me up, Santa, lay some toys on me. Sock it to me, Santa, you know where it's at. Sock it to me, Santa, I want a baseball bat. Santa's got a brand new bag.
Bob Seger, an interesting fact is Bob Seger co-wrote Heartache Tonight, which became a US number one for the Eagles in 1979 off their album Long Run. So this is the first time that I've heard the song. And it was weird. It sounded, when I think of Bob Seger, I think of the 70s. And it sounded a little bit like a jam, but then it sounded a bit like James Brown, and then it sounded a bit like a rap, which is quite ahead of its time, I suppose, if this was 1966. Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think of this song?
I had never heard it until we've done this show, mm-hmm. and it's only 2 minutes long, and my thoughts are it's different, it's cool, and yeah.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yeah, it's hard to know what else to say about it.
Yeah, well, I think we'll have something to say about the next one, which was selected by Mr. Paul Mellon, and it is Merry Xmas Everybody by Slade.
So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody.
So Paul Mellon selected that, and we can actually hear from Paul as to why.
My favourite Christmas song was going to be Rage Against the Machine, Killing in the Name, but unfortunately the Podfather decreed that it's not a Christmas song. So instead I've gone for Slade, so here it is, Merry Christmas. I just love the song, it's a very catchy song, and it's a cracking intro, which I'm sure everyone knows.
So thanks for that, Paul.
That Slade make £500,000 every year from royalties for the song, and lead singer Noddy Holder called it a great pension plan.
I'm sure, yeah. Gets played everywhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, and what are your thoughts on the song?
Oh, it's a brilliant song. Absolute Christmas classic. And really, a lot of these songs, actually, and this is one of them, it just feels like it's soundtracked Christmas parties in your childhood.
Yeah.
Is this what came out, 73?
73, yeah.
I was born the following year, but every Christmas kind of party or disco you went to, this was always played. So anytime you hear it, it kind of brings back lots of good memories. And it's just a great song, and you just can't beat it. It's Christmas!
Yes, Noddy's vocals, yeah.
Absolutely, the most iconic line. What about you?
Yeah, it's a classic. It's a brilliant song. It wouldn't be Christmas without that song. It's so entrenched. And what's quite funny about it as well is that when we hear Christmas, well, certainly when I do, when you hear Christmas songs, you think, oh, this must have been recorded in Christmas and it was really cold, because that's what the song feels like. But actually that song was recorded in the summer in New York when it was piping hot. So it's funny when you listen to the song, but actually it was recorded in the summer. So it's quite funny when you look at it that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great song, but I also think it's a bit of a noose around the neck of Slade in a sense, because almost like a weight on their shoulder, because they did a lot of brilliant stuff, but they kind of just, they're forever known with this song. And I think they've done so much good material, a really good underrated band, but they seem to get remembered for this song. And I think that's a shame, because there's so much more to them than just this song.
Okay, let's move on to number 7 of our top 10 best Christmas songs. And this one is selected by me. And it is Christmas, Baby Please Come Home by Darlene Love. And here it is.
Featured on the classic 1963 Phil Spector album, A Christmas Gift for You.
It was, and I'm actually looking at my reissued vinyl copy of that very album at this moment in time, and it is the best Christmas album of all time. And the reason I mention that is because it's the whole album and this song, it's just that the Phil Spector production style just fits perfectly with Christmas, and it just sounds like Christmas. And I think because all these songs on that album soundtrack Christmas, don't they, every single year, so it just feels like Christmas when you hear those songs. It just that the sound that he has suits it down to a T. And this particular song, I love it. It's just a brilliant song. It's used fantastically well in the Home Alone movie. So yeah, I love the song. There's actually been some really good cover versions of it as well. I think U2, I'm sure Bruce Springsteen's done it. So there's been some good cover versions of it. And it's, an evergreen classic. You're a fan as well, aren't you?
Yeah, it's probably my second favourite Christmas song. And it's a song that's grown in stature over the years as well. And just a brilliant song. And what's interesting as well is that, although I just said 1963, it was actually 1962. The album came out, and it's amazing to think next year we'll be celebrating the 60th anniversary.
Wow.
And to think that is amazing. At the time, Phil Spector was like just a musical genius. Darlene Love, who sang it, is famous to a lot of other people as Murtaugh's wife in Lethal Weapon.
Is she really? I didn't know that.
That's Darlene Love, yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, what's her name in it again?
Mrs. Murtaugh? So there we are. So that is track 7. Track 8 was selected by the two Pauls, yourself and Paul Murphy. And that is Happy Xmas, War Is Over by John Lennon. And let's hear a little bit of it now.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, just begun. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones, the old and the young,
a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Was actually held back for a year because it was recorded in New York and they had the Harlem Street Choir. It was recorded in 1971, but it was almost near the end of the year, and it just wasn't going to be ready for the Christmas market. So they held it over to the following year, 1972. It was also produced by Phil Spector, who we just talked about.
I was going to say, do you know if it was actually written in the 70s, or was it one of those songs that Lennon had kicking around from the late 60s in his Beatles days? Do you know?
I think, I think it was 1969, they took those big billboards around the world, you know, War Is Over If You Want It. Mm-hmm. So they had that, but the actual song, I think it was made in the 70s. I think, I could be wrong, but I think it was made in. But the war is over if you want it. That was from that kind of peace thing that they put all around the world in maybe 69.
The song itself is one of my favourite Christmas songs. I suppose it's more of a bittersweet type Christmas song, isn't it? Maybe compared to a lot of the others. But I think the bittersweet ones are the best ones, I have to say.
Yeah.
And it's just got a lovely melody in it. A great sentiment behind it as well. I think it's nice having the kind of that the children singing on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it brings in that Christmas feel. So, yeah, big thumbs up for me. I think it's an absolutely great song.
I just think it's a great one of John Lennon's best songs.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
Rather, not even just a Christmas song, it's a great song.
Okay, so let's move from that to a song I know you don't like. So this was nominated by a listener of the podcast, Claire Neville, and it is the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl's Fairy Tale of New York, and here it is.
Happy Christmas, you're awesome, thank God it's our love. The flies and the unwanted painting chorus still singing, call and play, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
Could have been someone.
Well, so could anyone. You took my dreams from me when I first found you.
I kept them with me, babe. I put them with my own. Can't make it all alone. I built my dreams around you.
boys of the NYPD chorus to sing away by, and the bells are ringing out for Christmas Day.
So the song reached number two in the UK charts, Christmas 1987, and it was kept off the top spot by the Pet Shop Boys' cover of Always On My Mind.
Well, I was going to say, well, we'll keep your thoughts on it. We'll keep your powder dry there, because I know you're going to be talking about it again very shortly.
Yeah.
What I think about it, I didn't like it when it first came out. I didn't like it, and it's just as the years have gone by, it's grown on me. And I just actually remember, I can't remember the name of the bar, but I just remember being out with friends one Christmas Eve, and it came on and the whole pub singing it, and I just kind of seen it in a new light, and I love it. I think it's great. And I mean, my favourite city in the world, other than my own, Edinburgh, is New York. And having been there quite a few times now, and having a Northern Irish wife, so maybe I've just been attuned more to it now. So I think it's great. Yeah, it's a really good song. So we'll move on to number 10. And this was selected by the both of us, our final selection, and this is Wizards' I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. And here it is.
Spot in 1973 by Slade's Merry Christmas Everybody, which we just talked about earlier at number six. Due to contractual reasons with record companies and stuff, it was decided to re-release the song 8 years later in 1981. It was then found that the original tapes had been lost, so the song was re-recorded by the band in 1981. So a lot of the versions you hear now could well be the 1981 version, not the original. Okay, and what are your thoughts on the song, Stephen?
Oh, it's a brilliant song. It's very similar in a lot of ways to what I said about Slade.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a lot of ways, the I actually feel like a lot of the time that they're the same song.
Yeah.
So really for a lot of the same reasons that I like the Slade song, I like the Wizard song. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the production of it's, it sounds a lot like the Phil Spector Christmas album.
Yeah, absolutely.
But maybe giving a more 70s twist on it, but it's brilliant, yeah. What about you?
Yeah, it's a classic. Just thinking how amazing it would have been to have been alive at that time when, you know, as a teenager, when those songs were number one and number two, you know, just like amazing Christmas classics, like the same two places in the, you know, one place below each other in the charts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just a classic, and it's got that old Phil Spector. I know Wizard had some of that Phil Spector sound, and yeah, another like Slade, another underrated band actually. Yeah, so it's a classic. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I think with the song itself, there's that instrumental passage just after. I think it's the second chorus.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Again, the instrumentation on it is wonderful as well. Good when the kids' choir kicks in.
Yeah.
Come on, kids. Yeah, and the way it builds, it's a tremendous song. So we've got our top tempo, and that is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. We have Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid. We have Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. We have Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea. Sock It to Me Santa by Bob Seger. Merry Christmas, or Merry Xmas, everyone by Slade. Christmas, Baby Please Come Home by Darlene Love. Happy Xmas, War Is Over by John Lennon. Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl. And I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard. That is the top 10. Now, on to the unwanted Christmas presents, the worst 10 Christmas songs as voted by the podcast panel. And the first one is Wham's Last Christmas. Let's hear it. Last Christmas by Wham. Paul Mellon selected this, and let's hear why Paul hates it.
My worst, least favourite Christmas song is Wham, Last Christmas. I feel sorry for shopkeepers, shop workers, anyone who works in a shopping centre who has to put up with this song from about August all the way through to Christmas. It's a dreadful song, it's a soppy video, and it should be banned immediately.
So thanks for that, Paul. Paul Nicholson, you got an interesting fact about this song.
Yes, so it's one of these sort of famous songs that got to number two and were kept off number one by another classic, of course, which was Band-Aid. So it spent 5 consecutive weeks at number two in the UK single chart.
Yeah, I think for Paul, I think it sounds like overfamiliarity has breeded contempt here, doesn't
yeah.
it? I think it's a great pop song. Again, it's another one that I probably like a lot more now than I did, but perhaps when it first came out. I think it's a great great pop Christmas song. I certainly wouldn't be anywhere near my worst top 10. What about you?
I think it's a really good song as well. Like yourself, I don't think I liked it initially. But I think as well the last few years, because they had that film Last Christmas, And that kind of gave a new lease of life to the song as well. Was it last? Yeah, it was called Last Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I've not seen it. I know it's on Netflix.
It's really good. Actually. I didn't fancy it, but it's actually really good. So it gives that song a new lease of life. So I appreciate it now, because at the time, I remember the cheesy video when they're in that cable car thing.
Is it cheesy though? Because again, it's another bittersweet song, isn't it? The idea behind it. I think they were together the year before and they're not this Christmas.
Yeah.
I think he's having to put on a brave face, isn't he? Yeah, great tune. Yeah. Okay, let's go on to number two. And this was Jamie Kerr. And Jamie is about to make himself very unpopular with me and Paul because he selected Thank God It's Christmas by Queen, which is Paul and I's favourite band. How dare you, Jamie? But let's hear it.
The single. Charted pretty disappointingly for Queen in the UK. It only reached number 21, and for the first time in a long time the band hadn't made a video for this song, And that was Brian May's response to the Pure chart position. What are your thoughts on the song, Stephen?
I mean, obviously, I love Queen. I think it's a good song. I think it's a good Christmas song. I don't think it's a classic. I remember, again, Dad bought it when it came out, and you know, I liked it, but for me, it's not a Queen classic. It's a good song, good Christmas song, and good vocal from Freddie on it. And yeah, what about you?
Yeah, it's one of my favourite Christmas songs, but it's not a class. It's not a brilliant Queen song. It's very much of its time. You know, the drums, the 80s sound. What I would say to people, if there's a Hollywood Records version of it, and it's actually a better version because they've taken off the sort of 80s sound on the drums. Queen were going to release, there's two songs that they'd done. So this was co-written, I think, Brian May and Roger Taylor, and there was another song called When I Think of Christmas. I think that Anita Dobson eventually did. But there was actually two they were going to do. And actually, they were recorded in different places because Brian May and Roger Taylor and John Deacon recorded it in the studio, and Freddie just, like, I think he was maybe recording Mr. Bad Guy in Munich, and he just added the vocals in a different studio, so he just added the vocals on the top.
Okay, number three on our worst Christmas songs is selected by Brian Bothwick, and that is Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. So we've already heard that. And we've already had our say in it, but we'll let Brian have his say in why he doesn't like it. Over to you, Brian.
My worst song, controversially, would be All I Want for Christmas, Mariah Carey. I know a lot of people love that, including Davey Mellon, but...
Not a fan of her voice, and I think it's overplayed, although I know Christmas songs are overplayed, but that one just, always on. A quick joke to finish off would be... How do you find Will Smith in the snow? Look for the Fresh Prince. On that note, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Brian, and for the festive joke as well. Any additional facts you want to share about the song, Paul?
Just that, it's the biggest selling Christmas single by a female artist and one of the best selling physical singles in music history, selling over 16 million copies.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah,
that's Mariah's pension fund. Although I'm sure she's got a few million tucked away in the bank already. Alrighty, let's move on to number four. And it was Mark Poole and it was Ross Braidwood who selected this one. And it is The King of Christmas, Cliff Richard, with Mistletoe and Wine.
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian with logs on the fire, gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice in the good that we see. A time for living, a time for believing, a time for trusting, not deceiving. Love and laughter and joy ever after, ours for the taking, just follow the master. Christmas time, mistletoe and wine, children singing Christian rhyme, with logs on the fire and gifts on the tree, a time to rejoice in the good that we see.
So that was Cliff with Mistletoe and Wine.
It came out quite late in the year, actually, so it came out on the 21st of November, and even though it was only out for that period up until the end of 1988, it became the highest selling single of that year, 1988.
Yeah. And you like the song?
Not really. It's sort of cringy, but it's so bad it's good. It's almost, I always remember on Top of the Pops when he was miming it, but there was a bit at the end where he like shouts into the microphone live, "Come on, everybody," and it's just quite corny. But it's not a great song, but there's something quite funny as well, like nostalgic about it as well, but you begrudgingly maybe like it a bit as well. What about you?
Well, this is one of those songs where I have to kind of whisper it quietly that I really like it and always have done. Obviously, which makes me very uncool, but you know, Again, just reminds me of Christmas, late 80s, mm-hmm. watching it on Top of the Pops. Obviously, it was on the radio a lot, and I still like it. But I'll just whisper that.
I really like it.
Okay, song number five was from Davey Mellon, and he selected Crazy Frog with Last Christmas. And I think because we have to, we'll play a little clip of it. Here we go.
Okay. That don't know, Crazy Frog is a character used in the marketing of a ringtone with a really annoying voice. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the song, Stephen?
Crap.
Yeah.
Opportunistic Christmas cash-in. Let's move on, can't we?
Yeah, just leave it at that, because that's I think you summed it up perfectly.
Yep, absolute. Mm-hmm. Not worth talking about. Okay, this is worth talking about, Paul, because you selected for your worst Christmas song Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl. So what have you got to say?
I suppose a fact about the song as well before that is in the last couple of years, radio stations have, I don't know if they still are, but it had been banned for the use of a homophobic slur in the song. And I know that's been quite controversial. Some people agree, some people don't agree. But in terms of the song itself, I just think it's totally overrated. And Shane McGowan
Shane McGowan likes a drink.
Yeah, just.
Or 10.
Yeah. No, so it's just, I just think it's rubbish. And the video's really cheesy as well. You know, like the New York cops, obviously, a lot of Irish people had moved to New York. And it's just, I mean, the sentiment of the song is nice, I guess. But it's just, yeah, I just think it's dodge.
So yeah. Let me get this straight. You're saying you don't like it?
I think it's quite a divisive song, to be honest. I think people either really love it or they hate it.
Yeah.
I'm probably the latter.
Okay, thank you for that. So let's move on to track 7. And this was selected by myself and Paul Murphy. And it's that man again, Cliff Richard. This time with the Millennium Prayer. So I'll hear a little bit of the song.
Did get to number one in 1999, and it was number one for 3 weeks, but it didn't remain there for Christmas number one, which was taken by Westlife. And what are your thongs on what are your thongs?
My thongs.
How you dare mention my thongs during this
songs
this podcast. Oh, we'll talk about thongs later. Much in the way Crazy Frog was an opportunistic Christmas cash-in, I feel the same about this. It's obviously Cliff's play to get the last Christmas number one of the millennium, having scored a couple of Christmas number ones in the 80s. It's got the Lord's Prayer in there as well. So again, it just felt like that's in there to just try and pull the Christian market into buying the song and so on. And
Which is fine if it was a good song, but it's not a good song. It's just awful. It's poor. And yeah, that's all I've got to say. What about you?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's. I remember at the time there's a lot of controversy because I'm sure Radio 1 banned it at the time as well. Quite rightly so.
I don't think it was banned. I think it was just no. It wasn't
on the playlist, that's what I meant. And yeah, I remember the video, was it not like on a, no pun intended, was it not on a cliff or something?
No, you're thinking of
Saviour's Day.
This is the one where I think he had clouds and stuff behind him.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think his head was in the clouds when he did this.
Why would Radio 1 play a song by a guy who's 112 years old when they're looking to kind of obviously corner the younger market, you know?
Yeah.
20s sure. and younger. Yes. Rubbish.
Yes.
Talking of rubbish, here's song number 8. Cheeky Girls, Have a Cheeky Christmas.
Life is good, we all go crazy, light the fire and come with me, dancing at the Christmas party, lots of wine and the boys get cheeky.
So that was Have a Cheeky Christmas. Are you a fan of this, Paul?
No.
Good no, video, I, mind.
I don't know if I've seen the video.
just watch that with the mute button.
Okay. Of course, they were best known for their debut single. Of course, they were on a reality TV show. And the debut single, the classic cheeky song, Touch My Bum, which had sold more than 1.2 million. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's almost like they're a novelty act. And it's just, how can we get more money out of this? Let's have a, get the word cheeky in there for Christmas.
Are you saying this is an opportunistic Christmas cash-in?
No, I think it's an artistic statement, an important artistic statement.
Yeah, it's just no good. Talking of no good, here comes our penultimate worst Christmas song, and it is Bross with their version of Silent Night.
Silent night, holy as night, darkness flies, all is light, shepherds hear the angels sing.
That was Bross, Silent Night. I'll maybe share some quotes about Bross. So for those that don't know, Bross were kind of mid to late 80s pop band who were very big in Britain for what, a year or two?
Yeah, probably a couple of years.
We're very much with teenage girls and the
Brossettes. We're called the Brossettes.
And this was their play for the Christmas number one in 1988, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was 88.
Yeah. 88. And yeah, what do you think of the cover version, Paul?
Absolutely awful. It's cringy, and the video is it's so bad, it's hilarious. It's, yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's got that really cheesy 80s keyboard backing it. And yeah, it just feels like, I mean, Silent Night is actually one of my favourite Christmas songs. Yeah, I like that and Oh Holy Night from the kind of old school Christmas stuff. I love Silent Night, it's an amazing song. And they just seem to suck the power out of it with this version. It just doesn't work. But anyway, we'll move away from their cover version to some of the quotes from their documentary, from their reunion a couple of years back. So this it was covered in a documentary which was called After the Screaming Stops, and it's real life, but it basically turned into the pop band version of This Is Spinal Tap. There was some absolutely wonderful moments and things said in it. And let me give you a few. So in the band, you've got Matt and Luke Goss, who are identical twins. And Matt's the lead singer, Luke's the drummer. And so let me give you some quotes. So Matt explaining what a home is. The letters H-O-M-E are so important because they personify the word home.
You got the one about the cleaner of the king. That's a good one.
Matt's true humanitarianism in action. One of my songs is called We're All Kings, which is about a man sweeping the road. He's one of my kings because I'm thankful I don't have to sweep the road. So here's Matt again. He was a rectangle and I was a rectangle and we made a square, which therefore is a fortress.
Terrible, they're good.
I'll give you one more. Last words has to go to Matt comparing. I'll give you the last one. Rome wasn't built in a day, but we don't have the time Rome had. The words and wisdom of Bros.
Certainly no Bob Dylan.
Indeed. So let's go on to our final selection, and this was selected by me and you. So there's been four versions of the Band Aid single. First one is undoubtedly the best. There's been three since, and we think the versions 2 and 4 are just absolutely terrible. So I think version 2 is 1989, and version 4 was 2014 or 16, something like that.
I think it's 14.
Yeah. So we'll maybe play a little bit of Band-Aid 2, Paul. So here we go. Band-Aid 2, I think that included the likes of Sonia, there's our friends Bros again, Bananarama maybe. I think it was predominantly Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Yeah, it was a lot
stars.
Of
stars. Yeah, Kylie and Jason maybe on there.
Kylie and Jason were on it, yeah. Big Fun, I think.
Big fun, yeah.
Maybe Brother Beyond.
They were bringing out all the legends for this, weren't they?
You're right, there was a lot of it was Stock Aitken and Waterman.
Yeah. So we'll maybe just talk predominantly about number two then. I mean, obviously, if we remember it coming out at the time, what did you think when it came out?
Pretty awful as well, because the first one was such a classic, but you just had all the sort of people of the day, and it was almost like quite, I don't know, it felt like a sort of karaoke version or something, you know, just like a pale imitation of the original.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think just the production on it obviously Stock Aitken and Waterman produced it. You can't take away from the fact that these guys were huge and hugely successful. Unbelievable amount of success as producers. And of course, it was their sound, which was used, but it just sounds really weedy compared to the original, which had a bit of, and still does, sound like it's got a bit of oomph behind it. And I think that's because, you know, Phil Collins was a drummer, wasn't he, on that? So, but yeah, the production on the original had a bit of drive and oomph to it. And let's be honest, better stars.
Yeah, and of course the drumming was by, who we just talked about, was Luke Goss who did the drumming, wasn't it?
That's right.
Drumming for it.
But yeah, the original just outstrips it by a country mile. So yeah, that is the final song on our worst Christmas songs list. Last Christmas by Wham, Thank God It's Christmas by Queen, Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richard, Crazy Frog with Last Christmas, Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl, The Millennium Prayer by Cliff Richard, Cheeky Girls Have a Cheeky Christmas, Rosie's version of Silent Night, and Band-Aid's Do They Know It's Christmas, Band-Aid 2 and Band-Aid 4 versions. Say goodbye so we can go hang our stockings underneath the Christmas tree, or for Paul to take his off his face. We hope you enjoyed our blast through some Christmas classics. What's coming up? Well, Paul and I are going to be taking a little break from recording as we approach Christmas. However, look out for the 2021 end of year review pod, which will drop on Christmas Eve. In that, we'll share with you what to expect from the podcast next year, and provide details about our brand new podcast, Trimming the Movie Fat, which is officially going to launch in January. After the review pod on Christmas Eve, we'll be releasing several episodes between Boxing Day and Hogmanay, aka New Year's Eve. So if you get bored of the Christmas TV, you can give us a listen whilst stuffing your face with all that Christmas pudding, chocolate and turkey leftovers. So if you want to keep up to date with what we're up to or get in touch, check out all our podcast episodes, albums and TTMS supercuts on our website, which is trimmingthemusicalfat.com. You can join our Facebook group, you can check out our YouTube channel, you can email us at trimthemusicalfat@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail at anchor.fm/TTMF/message. Want to support the podcast and get exclusive podcast content? Then subscribe for less than £1 per month at anchor.fm/TTMF/subscribe. All you out there in podcast land, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a fabulous year.
Record at getting Christmas number ones, and particularly for having a number one in every decade. But this year, for the millennium in 1999, he wasn't able to achieve number one. Oh, sorry, I'm talking star.
I love it. I love it.